Hello. Thank you for joining us today on the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. With the Feast of Tabernacles celebrating the Kingdom of God comes the understanding that in the Kingdom there will be a King. We know it will be Jesus who will serve as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And today, we will look at how the Bible supports this. We can travel back in time to the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, who had a troubling dream, and eventually it was only Daniel who could interpret the dream. None of the mystical people of the time could. Nebuchadnezzar understood that some of these mystical people could be phonies, so he pretended to have forgotten his disturbing dream. These people told Nebuchadnezzar that only God could reveal a dream under these circumstances. As king of Babylon, he quickly rounded up all of the wise men, realizing their wisdom lay in deceit. Eventually, even Daniel and Daniel's friends were rounded up. Daniel 2, verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, This thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was very angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house, and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Understanding the decision of Nebuchadnezzar and the mercy of God, Daniel asked God to reveal to them what the king had dreamed, and God did. And then, in a hastily arranged meeting, did exactly that. Verse 19. Then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of the God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings, and giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that knoweth understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of the head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Nebuchadnezzar was convinced that Daniel was blessed by God. In connecting Daniel to God, Nebuchadnezzar called the God of heaven the Lord of Kings. Daniel told the king he had seen a great image in the likeness of a person with a head of gold, chest and arms of silver, stomach and thighs of brass, legs of iron, and toes blended with iron and clay. Daniel told the king that he was the most powerful king on earth and ruled as a king of kings through the will of the God of heaven, explaining that Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold and that after him inferior kingdoms would arise. Daniel also explained that in the days of the final kings, those represented by the toes made of clay and iron, the God of heaven would establish a kingdom that would never be destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar concluded his thoughts by stating that the God of heaven was a God of gods and a Lord of kings. Verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clays and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kingdoms shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Later in Daniel's life, he would see a vision of the Son of Man, whom we know to be Jesus, coming in a cloud, ascending to the God of heaven, and understanding this person would be given dominion, glory, and an everlasting kingdom, tacitly acknowledging that this Son of Man would be King of kings and Lord of lords. Daniel 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heavens, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. The disciples also understood this to be the role of Jesus Christ, and after his death, but before he ascended to heaven, they wanted to know if the kingdom would be restored to Israel at that time. Jesus told them it was not for them to know, but that they would be given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and through this gift, they would be his witness throughout the world. angels saw the disciples looking amazed and told them Jesus would return as he was seen ascending to heaven in a cloud. Acts 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The Bible gives us many different warnings and messages about the return of Jesus Christ, and from that we should consider those warnings, especially those warnings that indicated some will falsely claim Jesus has returned when indeed he has not. The passage we just read shows that when the King of Kings returns, all will see it. And as Jesus ascended into heaven through clouds, so Jesus will descend from the heavens through clouds. When Jesus returns, it will not be a hidden event. He will not appear to just a few in an isolated area and then later reveal himself to greater mankind. When Jesus returns, all of mankind will know it all at once. Matthew 24, verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. The Apostle John recorded a vision in the book of Revelation, which showed a white horse. Using flowing language, we can tell the person John saw atop of the horse was Jesus, as this person is called both faithful and true, described as righteous, whose name is the Word of God. It was John who wrote in his account of the gospel that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John went on to explain the writer, Jesus Christ had eyes like the flames of fire as he wore many crowns and had a secret name. His reign was brought about through his spilled blood, and the royal clothes are dipped in blood. The army of heaven that follows him are all riding white horses. His mouth is likened to a sharp sword to tackle the sin that is in the countries. The name that John clearly saw was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepresses of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Earlier in Revelation, John also uses the name of King of Kings and Lord of Lords when the nations try to attack. Mankind will not welcome Jesus at his return and will instead attack Jesus. Those who are with Jesus are called, are chosen, and are faithful, having endured to the end. At this time, the nations of the world will not be aligned with Jesus, having voluntarily subjected themselves to the beast and whore, representing the end-time government of man and the religion that supported the end-time government. The use of the word whore is a harsh word to describe a religion and indicates the likelihood that the leaders of this faith know what they are doing is wrong and yet participate for matters of convenience. And in the end, even this religion that is linked to a city will be burned. Revelation 17, verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, and are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords because of what he did. Paul shows in writing to the Philippians that Jesus, who was God and equal to God, became a person living as a mortal man. When Jesus came to earth the first time, he did not come with the pomp and ceremony of a king, but came in the likeness of a servant, somebody who might serve the king. Jesus did not live an opulent life as a man, and instead lived a very humble life of an average or even less than average person, and yet never wavered in his service to God. Because of all of this, God has bestowed honor and title on Jesus. Paul concluded his thoughts by expressing how at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, confessing that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When Jesus returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what Isaiah wrote of will be fulfilled. When Jesus returns, it will be after a time of great trouble and conflict, a time of darkness. When Jesus returns, the light of righteousness will shine brightly through the gloom of despair. Even though the nation will be multiplied and life will continue on looking good to the casual observer, deep down, people will be unhappy. Their joy will not increase matching the physical increase they see around them. But when Jesus returns, that glimmer of righteousness shines brightly, like the rays of the sun shining through a break in dark storm clouds. When Jesus returns, the heavy burden of pervasive sadness will be lifted as those who oppress others are brought to nothing. It is with all of this, Isaiah writes, that unto us a child is born, and a son is given to us, whose government shall be on his shoulders. Referring to the person we know as Jesus Christ, this person will be called by many names, including the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Hebrews, Jesus is described as the heir of all things, by whom God also made the worlds. In this passage, Jesus is also identified as purging our sins from us and sitting at the right hand of God, making Jesus a co-ruler. Having the brightness, glory, and image of God, Jesus is in a more prominent place than the angels, as Jesus is also the Son of God, the firstborn of many children of God. Unlike the angels who were created for service, Jesus is given a scepter, a symbol of a king through the scepter of righteousness, which is the scepter of the kingdom. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it is Jesus who loves righteousness and hates iniquity. And this is part of the basis for Jesus being that King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For all who are called today, it is up to us to also love righteousness and hate iniquity. It is through righteousness that the kingdom of God will be established forever, and all attempts by evil to prevent the establishment of the kingdom will fail. Unlike the rulers of today, which are in power for a bit until either they die or are voted out of office, Jesus will rule through the entirety of the kingdom of God. There will never be an abdication of the throne, nor will there ever be a rebellion again, like Satan tried to rebel. As heirs of salvation, we will benefit from that throne of righteousness that will establish the kingdom of God in perpetuity. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of the kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? As we celebrate the kingdom of God through this feast, we look around in the world in which we live, knowing that the world in which we live is not a kingdom where the throne is established in righteousness. Deceitfulness and political lies seem to be the heart of government today, along with attempts to divide people against each other. With the kingdom of God, it will not be that way. The kingdom of God will be a kingdom that through righteousness brings people together and will be a place where we will never have doubt or worry. The kingdom of God will bring complete confidence to the people, and not through threats that force these types of beliefs today, but through the results the people experience. Jesus told the disciples that his death provided space for Jesus to prepare a place for them and for us. Looking forward to the complete confidence that people will have in the kingdom of God with Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we can have that same confidence as we await the return of Jesus. We can never allow the deceitfulness and political lies of today that seek to divide us to ever replace the complete confidence that will come through Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus is not preparing just any place for us. He's not preparing an apartment or dorm room. There won't even be a tract-built home for us. What Jesus will have awaiting for us is a mansion that comes without a mortgage because the price has already been paid in the blood of Jesus Christ, a mansion that will be part of the kingdom of God, a mansion where we will have complete confidence in private as much as we display in public, and a mansion where Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go you know, and the way you know. In writing to Timothy, Paul wrote of the need to follow after righteousness. We know that the throne of Jesus is established in righteousness. Paul wrote of the need to follow after godliness because we must allow the mind that is of Jesus to be within us, a faith because without faith we cannot defeat the deceitfulness and lies of this present age, of love, because without love we are phonies, of patience, because we must endure to the end to be saved, and of meekness, because we must be like Jesus, who even though he was God, lived as a man in service to others. As we look forward to the kingdom of God, we spiritually fight the good fight of faith. We never bring physical or emotional harm to anyone, but we spiritually fight the good fight of faith, knowing that through faith we overcome Satan and all that is evil. By doing so, we lay hold on eternal life, knowing we have been called to be given eternal life, knowing that unlike the deceitfulness and political lies of leaders of today, we can have complete confidence in Jesus Christ, knowing God will make good on our resurrection and change to spirit, knowing that since Jesus was condemned by Pilate, even though Pilate found nothing wrong with Jesus, that if we hold fast to flee the evil that is in the world today, if we have a desire to flee the deceitfulness and political lies that seek to divide us, that if we follow righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness, that when Jesus returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we will be changed and be immortal, living within and as part of the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Between now and the return of Jesus Christ, and especially as we celebrate the kingdom of God through the Feast of Tabernacles, while we are focused on this kingdom of righteousness, we remember we live in a world of deceitfulness and political lies where Satan roams, seeking whom he may devour. We resist Satan, fighting the good fight of faith, knowing we are engaged in spiritual, not physical warfare. We will never bring physical or emotional harm to another person, knowing our enemy is Satan, knowing we wrestle against spiritual evilness that seeks to control us physically. We never stoop to the level of Satan, who seeks to bring us physical or emotional harm, and we fight Satan through faith, resisting evil by focusing first on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. As we wage spiritual war through righteousness that comes through faith, we resist Satan like David resisted Goliath. And in the end, with the spiritual fight that is before us, we will win. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As we fight that good fight of faith, remembering it as Satan, who is our enemy, and never stooping to the level of Satan, who brings physical and mental harm to people, we embrace and celebrate the kingdom of God. We stir up the gift of God, that is the spirit of love and of a sound mind, knowing we are called and have been given a purpose by Jesus Christ, who through his death and resurrection has abolished death so that we can have eternal life. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, and is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We celebrate the kingdom of God. We celebrate the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We celebrate the righteousness that is embodied in the throne of the kingdom and through all that is done within the kingdom. We celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, knowing that it is through faith. We fight our way in spiritual battle to our place in the kingdom. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow during the last great day. Until then, thank you for joining us today.